Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Borussia Dortmund have won the European
Feel the passion, the emotion.
And Dortmund, against all the odds, are European champions.
Heya, BVB fans, welcome to Believe in Borussia. This is Thilo, your host, and I welcome you to the first podcast in 2022, number 31 altogether. Happy you're back, happy we are back. I hope you missed us, and we have a good one for you today. So it's been a minute since the last time you've heard me here, and you were probably wondering what the heck was going on. Well, I was away, I had a lot going on. There's also this pandemic thing, a couple of personal things, but mostly being that away thing. And I actually was in Germany, not only in Germany, in Dortmund, and I caught some games, and I caught up with some friends, so amazing who you can find during a pandemic at a Borussia Dortmund game in December. But yeah, shout out to our friends down in Thailand, the Borussia Dortmund fan club there. They had people in the stadium, believe it or not. I also saw BBB Mexico. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to catch up, but if anybody's listening in, then a belated shout out from this point to you, and also hats off. I know this is an amazing logistical challenge in these days, and you know, showing your support and getting there, kudos for that. But what else did I do? Well, I caught up with some friends locally as well and tracked down some of the historic sites from Borussia Dortmund. So yes, there will be more BBB history content coming very, very soon. I was able to see some new things there, where when you get to the Borsigplatz area, there's a couple of new elements happening. So when you ever get to Dortmund and have a chance, definitely go to the North City, go to Borsig Square, get off a train, walk a few steps toward the Wildschütz, which is the pub where Borussia Dortmund was founded, and you will see some cool new things happening there in that street. So, but I'll probably get into that at a later episode. Today, we will focus on what's laying immediately ahead. But before we do that, there is just one quick word I need to get off over to you, because even or still in 2022, BetOnline is our partner, and they remain the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. So new year and new updated desktop and mobile website for you to sign up today and receive still your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So just use your promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to get started, and good luck. And since you, our loyal listeners, had to wait quite a bit for us to come back with some fresh content for you, we are going to start off the new year with a bang and with a great guest that we're having today to talk about the upcoming game, because we're going to kick things off with none other than Ian Paul Joy. And most of you in the US might know him from his playing days at Real Salt Lake and the Portland Timbers, and his rich broadcasting repertoire. He has hosted, I think, the FIFA World Cup on Fox in 2018. lots of MLS stuff, the voice of NYCFC. Currently, of course, is the host on CBS for the Champions League. So if you're watching Champions League, and chances are you do, if you're following this podcast, then you know him. But what you may not know is he's a great friend of the German game. Ian is a German soccer fan, and even better, he's a former St. Pauli ace. So there's no one better to talk shop before the upcoming St. Pauli Borussia Dortmund Cup match. Enjoy.
I'm here with Ian Paul. And Ian, thanks so much for coming on to Believe in Borussia. For those of you who don't know Ian, and there should be very few, but still, could you tell us a little bit about your background and what you do in the game of soccer?
Well, you must not forget the last name, right? Joy is the most important name. When you say Ian Paul, I remember when I first went to Germany at Haas-Val, they put Ian Paul Joy in the back of my jersey. And my mother was like, why did they put Ian Paul in the back of your jersey? Because that's my full name. And then I said, no, just it should be Joy because that's the family name. So I got to tell you, first and foremost, Ian Paul Joy is my full name. And of course, Joy was the last name on the back of my jersey playing for St. Pauli. But doing very well. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor to talk to you. I know you're doing great things. And obviously, following your crazy club, it's a roller coaster.
It absolutely is. And yes, you just touched on it. And first of all, apologies for omitting the most important part, the joy. Because I think that describes you pretty well too in everything you do. But yeah, you've been, you know, playing in Germany for Hamburg and St. Pauli, amongst others, and then obviously also elsewhere in Europe and in the MLS for our American fans out there. And mm-hmm. we are facing up, yeah, with a very special German club, I want to say, St. Pauli. And mm-hmm. I guess the exposure in the US is maybe a little less than, you know, some of the other big German clubs. So mm-hmm. you've been there and you've been actually at both Hamburg clubs, which is also kind of wild. What mm-hmm. makes it special to you to be at St. Pauli? What is it about the club?
Well, it's a big question. Yeah. And it might take me a while to answer this one. Okay, to make it short, when I first went over to Germany, I was 22 years old and I was playing for HSV Amateur. And so the amateur side, under 23 side. And on the weekends, I was lucky because St. Pauli would always play on a Friday night when HSV's under 23 side would play on a Sunday. So on a Friday night, I would go watch every single St. Pauli game. And I went to my first one and it attracted me to continue to go back and go back and go back. And at that point, they were in the Regionalliga, the third division, St. Pauli, when I first went there. This was early 2000s. And the stadium was sold out, 20,000 fans, same city, obviously in Hamburg. But it's in the red light district of Hamburg. And obviously, Hamburg has two different faces. You have this wealthy side and a bit more of a posh side. And then you have this dark, grimy pirate side, which is where St. Pauli is located. And that's where I felt most at home. And I used to go watch every single St. Pauli game. Haswell did not know this, but I was going to watch all the St. Pauli games and I fell in love with the club pretty quickly. And when I had the opportunity, obviously recognizing I wasn't going to make my way into Hamburg's first team, that I needed to look to play first team football elsewhere. And there was only one option that I wanted to play for, and that was St. Pauli. And at that point, they were still in the third division and they were looking to go up. And I managed to help them do that. But the culture, it's mainly a culture. The supporters, they use soccer as a platform to protest against discrimination of all kinds, racism, homophobia, fascism, of course, to name a few. And it's somewhere where I felt like it was just my kind of people and where I felt that I could give my best and be welcomed the most. And they also love the fighting attitude and spirit. If you give 100% on and off the field for St. Pauli, you're always welcome. You will always be loved. And that's where I felt like it was home for me. So an amazing club. And obviously I was very, very lucky to have been there at a very important time in the history of the club as well. So very blessed. And I'm excited, obviously, to play against Dortmund in the Cup. It's going to be a fun game. And right now with St. Pauli playing very well Zweite Bundesliga, Second Bundesliga. It's going to be a good game, hopefully.
I expect as much, to be fair, because St. Pauli is just one of those clubs, right? There are some low division teams, and I think that what makes the cup, the German Cup, so special, that it pairs sometimes, you know, teams that may have fallen out of favor a little bit with the high gods of soccer, but, you know, the Kaiserslauterns, and even the St. Paulis or something like that. But then on one special night, you know, when the floodlights are brightest, the fans and everyone remembers around the club, you know, what they actually can do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's special.
Yeah, that special energy. And just to reiterate, it's kind of funny. I thought I read you're from San Diego originally.
Yes. So I was born in San Diego and moved to Scotland. My mother is Scottish. I moved to Scotland when I was 3 years old.
Okay.
And then I left home at 15 to start playing professional soccer. I went to England for 5 years, and then I went to Germany, and I spent just short of 5 years in Germany. And it was always my dream. When I was younger, I was playing for the US national team, under 17s. And we went to Germany. We went to, believe it or not, we went to Dortmund to play against Dortmund's Amateurliga side. We played against two or three other local professional teams, Schalke being one of them. And I actually went to watch Borussia Dortmund against Bayern Munich on that trip. And it just made me fall in love with German football and fall in love with German culture, the fans. And what grabbed me more than anything else was the passion that the fans had for football. I couldn't believe it. It was just remarkable. And at that point, Dortmund were obviously champions of Europe. And, you know, I had a good friend of mine, Jovan Kirovski, who was at Dortmund at the time. And there was also, you know, a number of Scottish players who have played for Borussia Dortmund as well, Murdo McLeod and Paul Lambert. And at that point, Paul Lambert was in the team. So I watched as many games as I could, and I was just amazed that Paul Lambert could go from Motherwell, a small Scottish team, to Borussia Dortmund, this giant of Europe. And it made me believe in my dream just that little bit more. And being in Dortmund, watching a game at the Westfalen, I fell in love with football even more. So I knew at some point in my career I wanted to play in Germany, and I managed to make it happen.
Wow. Yeah, I did not know that. And I was just thinking, man, Hamburg, St. Pauli versus San Diego, that's a bit of a culture shock. But from Scotland, I can see that, you know, the griminess, the roll up your sleeves, blue collar type of attitude, or sometimes rough weather with, you know, but hard in the right spot type of thing. I can totally see that. So, yeah. And wow, I mean, Dortmund Bayern 98, I think that's a one, that game went 1-1 and was pretty heated affair. I think it was the one where Mateos swiped famously Andy Müller's tears away. Kind of like a knee moment. So yeah, you picked a good one there. And yeah, we just talked about passion and culture. I think that's something, right, that stands out across the board, and probably for teams like St. Pauli and Dortmund even more, which makes that pairing even more interesting, I think. Because yeah, you do have this extreme, this culture, this commitment, this passion. It's more than, like you said, than just a club. It's a platform. It's part of, you know, your daily routine. Yes. And then there's also a lack of alternatives in Germany, really, when it comes to sports. It's like soccer, and it's soccer, and it's more soccer. And then maybe, I don't know, at some point, Formula One for some, or ice hockey, or tennis. But there's really nothing, you know, nothing else. So, and yeah, St. Pauli's on a roll, for those who don't know. They're sitting in first place right now in the second division. And I hope they can, you know, make a strong challenge and even come up to the first league again, because they are just a fun club. And I hope we have fans back by then, because that's a big part of, you know, what teams like St. Pauli do, and like Dortmund do, or even Union or something like that. We're just missing. It's just a big part of the German game, and we really need it. The clubs really need it. You can just tell there's a lack of energy and performance at times when these clubs don't have their following. So we're pitted against each other right now. What do you think? How's the game going to go?
That's a big one.
Oh, and
because, you know, St. Pauli's
sorry, just history. To intervene too, but and you're playing Hamburg on the weekend, which is basically the game of the year too. So it's a big week. How do you approach Dortmund with this?
Yeah. It is a big week, and after the weekend where we tied against Aue, I think there was you know, the eye and the focus on the big week that's coming up, of course, against Dortmund in the cup, and then against HSV in the derby. And it's only days later, because you play on the Tuesday against Dortmund and then on the Friday, believe it or not, against HSV. So this is one of the biggest weeks in the club's history. And, you know, the history of this competition for St. Pauli is so important. And again, I mentioned my history with the team. Having a cup run in the German Cup, going all the way to the semi-final, raised a lot of money for St. Pauli. And they managed to keep themselves away from liquidation and save money to start a process of building a club again. So the German Cup means so much to St. Pauli. They are 100% focused on winning games. They're 100% focused on giving their best effort to try and get to the next round. Of course, the focus will be on the derby the following weekend, because it is a game where HSV are sitting not too far behind St. Pauli in its second division table. But St. Pauli will focus on Dortmund 110%. And like you said, I hope the fans were in attendance, will be in attendance. I don't think it will be full capacity, but hopefully it can be close. I think it's going to be a great occasion. If the fans are in attendance, it gives St. Pauli a real opportunity, because the fans bring that 12th man. They bring that extra energy, similar to what you see in Dortmund when you have the yellow wall. You have your home support. You have that extra push, that extra energy. And that is what St. Pauli need to be able to have any chance against Dortmund. Dortmund play well. They will beat St. Pauli, no doubt about it. But you've got to try and find a way, trying to bring energy, bring aggression, bring attitude, be a little bit violent on the field. And I'll tell you this from personal experience. You know, I played against Bayern in the German Cup, and the only way we had a chance to get close to them was to be aggressive. And we must not forget that the coach right now of St. Pauli is Timo Schulz, who famously went to the semi-final of the German Cup as well. And he is also someone who knows this system, who knows how to get the best out of his people, his players, and in competition, he has that experience. So I think you're going to see a very aggressive, very committed St. Pauli side who will bring energy, will bring intensity. They won't worry about the derby game that's coming on Friday. They will focus on Dortmund. But at the end of the day, if Dortmund play their game, if they manage to play football and they manage to create chances, which they always seem to do, they will win this game. So Pauli have to find a way to
stop that. Yeah, I agree. I think it's, for Dortmund, it's a game, it's a lose-lose situation, really, because if you win that game, clearly people are like, well, you're Dortmund, you know, like, you're playing Champions League as a second division team. You need to beat them. No big deal if you did. But obviously, if you don't, then it's like, how can you lose to these guys, you know? And obviously, in modern football, where people move around quite a lot, some of these players might not be so familiar what it means, and, you know, in terms of also fans, culture, clubs, background, and yeah, what St. Pauli can bring to the table. And I also fully expect a very highly motivated and physical approach, which is unfortunately exactly what Dortmund sometimes lacks or doesn't do so well with. So that makes for an interesting game that I don't think is a foregone conclusion. And I'm pretty sure you still keep tabs on St. Pauli and probably know some people in the staff. Like, what's the mood around the club right now? Is it like super focused? Is it like joyous? Do they consider it like, oh, this is an add-on? Or like, no, we want both. We want to win, and then we need to win in the league and keep the keep Hamburg as bay.
Yeah, I actually spoke to the head coach, Timo Schulz, maybe 3 weeks ago. He was in quarantine, maybe 4 weeks ago, just before Christmas. He was in quarantine because he had unfortunately caught COVID, so he wasn't able to be around his team. So we were talking about, obviously, the players. We were talking about how well he is doing personally. He was asking for some advice, and obviously St. Pauli has a tremendous connection to the United States and all of the fan clubs that they have here in the US. So we're planning some events, hopefully in the future, in 2022 and potentially 23 for St. Pauli to come visit. And it's great to connect again. You know, this is a former teammate of mine, who is now the man in charge of St. Pauli. And he told me that he cannot believe how good the team is. He cannot believe how well organized, how much fun he is having. And obviously the excitement that is in amongst the club being top of the table, it's great. But you are also a target when you're number one in a second Bundesliga, which in my opinion is very close to the championship in England for being the most competitive second division in world football. It's crazy. The amount of teams and big teams that are in the second division this year is unbelievable. And there's a real fight to get to the Bundesliga this year. St. Pauli hope to get there. They hope to do their best. They hope to have success. They hope to win games. They hope to stay in the first two places. But it's not everything for St. Pauli. And I think people need to realize that. Playing in the first division would be very, very nice. But St. Pauli is more than just football, as you mentioned earlier on. It is also a religion to many people. It's a political statement to many people. And it's a platform for a lot of people. So it's not just about football for St. Pauli. But I think it would be very, very good for the club to get to the first Bundesliga. It's where the club is trying to go. And they're doing it the right way. Over the last 15 years, they've gone away from financial troubles. They have managed to build a fantastic stadium. And like I mentioned before, I don't think it's going to be a lot of fans in the stadium for the Dortmund game. But it's a shame because when it's packed, it's 25,000 crazy St. Pauli fans. And with Dortmund fans, that would make for a great atmosphere. But they're building the stadium the right way. They're building the team the right way. They've got some experience in there. Guido Burgstaller, obviously, former Schalke player. It'll be an opportunity for him to get one over Dortmund. He's doing very well for St. Pauli. We hope that he is available and ready to go against Dortmund. And he's been scoring a lot of goals this year. So that type of experience mixed with a lot of young players for St. Pauli this year creates excitement. And what you're seeing is a very good product on the field because the guys are having fun, the coaches are having fun, the fans are having fun. So it's a dangerous time for Dortmund to go to St. Pauli.
I agree. Very dangerous. They should take this very, very seriously and yeah, be on the lookout from minute one. Outside of Burgstaller, who's a player to watch for you?
Well, they've got a number of great players. Pacarada is one who plays left back for them. He's been really impressive getting forward from the left back position. A lot of assists this season. He's been very creative. I like Jackson Irvine as well. He's an Australian kid who came from the Scottish League. If I'm not mistaken, he was playing for Hibernian before he went to St. Pauli. He's caught my attention because he's kind of a cool guy. He's a fun guy to watch play. And I think that obviously we're a little bit unfortunate that Koffier won't be there. He's at the African Cup of Nations. He's been scoring a lot of goals for St. Pauli this year as well, but also being very, very creative for Pauli. So it's a shame we won't have him available to help the team against Dortmund. But I think what you're going to see more than anything is a very compact team. They're going to stay organized at the back. There's a lot of youth in the midfield, which will be fun to watch. And I mentioned before, Jackson Irvine, Eric Smith played very well at the weekend, Swedish player. They're doing a great job, Pauli. They have these young players between 22 and 26 years old who are just bringing energy. And then you have that experience with, obviously, a Burgstaller who really helps. And having that experience is so important when you have young players who need to, at times, to be kept in check. You need to have leadership, and they've done a really tremendous job of doing that. But I'm really intrigued to see how the starting 11 is going to look, because as you mentioned, the derby is on the Friday. We must not forget that. It's a very, very big game. But I'm really intrigued to see where we go. One other player I'd like to mention is Christopher Buchmann. He's a little bit older. He's about 29 years old now, plays in the number 10 position for Pauli. Another player who's a real creator. He's dangerous. Didn't play a great game at the weekend, so I expect him to have a big game against Dortmund and hopefully in the derby against HSV. So left back, number 10, and obviously Burgstaller up top. But then watch out for Jackson Irvine. He brings a great deal of character in midfield.
Well, I hope he doesn't, to be fair. I hope they all get sucked in by the moment. And fail to put the horses on the pitch. But I doubt it, unfortunately. And I doubt it. And yeah, to your point, let's see about the fans. for those who have never been in Hamburg, St. Pauli and the Schanze, it's like a very lively area normally. And the stadium is in the middle of it, as Ian mentioned. And it's a little bit, I think, for a player, and correct me if I'm wrong, something like, you know, like when you go to MSG, like it's in the heart of the city, it's just bustling. It's not some arena that's like 50 minutes out of the city, just like, you know, slammed into the mud. No, it's right there. The energy sort of like goes into the stadium. It's more intimidating. It's more of a fortress that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fortress, and you're right. It's in the energetic part of Hamburg. You're right on the Kiez. You're right near the Schanze. It's a fantastic area for entertainment. And then, of course, you have this football club with a beautiful stadium now that is just so energetic and so believing. So this is a great time for St. Pauli. And if you're a St. Pauli fan, it's also a fantastic time. But before I let you go and before we finish this, I want to ask you a few questions about Dortmund. I mean, what can St. Pauli expect from Dortmund? Do Dortmund play their strongest team? Do we see Erling Haaland play in this game? Does he rest in this game and maybe come off the bench? And also, I want to know your opinion on Marco Rose and the job that he's doing at Dortmund.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's start with the team. I think, or in general, you never know what you get with Dortmund, which has unfortunately, I think, been a theme for the last couple of years, even going back to the last days of Jürgen Klopp. The team is obviously able to do great things, has unbelievable potential, but doesn't have the consistency to always put it together match day after match day. As you could see in Frankfurt, you know, the first half was pretty abysmal. Then they pulled it together and pulled out a win. And yeah, the game on Friday was, you know, a very different affair. Freiburg, obviously a different animal this year, has been playing very well, but they couldn't put a foot in the ground. So I think it will come down to sort of like the game itself, like how it's started. I expect Dortmund to come out strong for a couple of minutes, but then the question is, can they keep it up, A, and B, will they be able to deal with adversity if it comes? Let's say there's a set piece, which Dortmund has not defended well in the past, and St. Pauli goes ahead. Will they be able to go right back in it, or will they fall apart and need like half an hour to get themselves together? Since it's a cup game, anything can happen. So I really think it will come down a little bit to who scores first and then, yeah, how the flow of the game goes. But yeah, it's really hard for me to predict this one because there's so many other factors. In terms of the team and lineup, I expect a strong lineup, and a guy like Erling Haaland does not want to rest. I mean, if it's up to him, I think he plays everything, anywhere, you know, any minute, whatever, table tennis, first team. I think he always wants to play, always wants to win. That makes him who he is. So I expect him fully there. And, you know, he might enjoy the sort of like the rough and tumble approach, you know, banging a little bit with the center backs. And, you know, with all due respect, but obviously he's a world-class, if not the most promising talent in world football right now. And he should have some very big advantages in terms of speed and technique versus, you know, the St. Pauli defense. So I wouldn't see why we wouldn't play him unless he has some issues. Center backs, that's always our biggest problem is obviously defense. So that remains to be seen. Or Akanji becomes fit. What happened to Meunier, you know, goes on to score two goals, has a great game, and then, you know, has to be subbed up injured. So, I think there will be opportunities for Pauli. Let's put it like this anyway, because we probably will have to shake up the defense a little bit. And it's not been great. You know, we've conceding way too many goals. So, I'd be surprised if we get away with a clean sheet, unfortunately.
Yeah. Are you impressed with Rose?
Verdict's still out. When I saw the Frankfurt game, I sort of unfortunately expected kind of like a flat performance like this, because from what I gathered during the winter break, which wasn't much from the club, I didn't feel a lot of energy, didn't sense a lot of stuff. And so then I wasn't surprised. And it made me really question Rose in the sense that it was like, you know, there was a short winter break, but there was a break. We played very poorly to close out the year. And then we start like that again. Like, I understand that when it's like in back-to-back games during, midweek games that you can't do much. But with a little bit of a break, you know, there's time to prepare, and that's how we come out. That sort of like, yeah, made me a little less appreciative in a sense, or question him a little, because I feel I think he was brought in to address just that, you know, bring more consistency, up that energy again, that preparedness, and then it didn't show. So, but overall, you can also look at it from the other side and say, okay, there was quite a turnover. We lost Sancho, you know, which was an important player. Lots of injuries in the sense, even though not corona, but just like physical injuries. And all in all, you know, they're sitting in second place, the cup games. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just rambling right now, but the verdict, it's too early for me to call it. It's been very up and down still. The Champions League was very poor, the campaign, in my opinion. The league, we're there. The cup, you know, if it's over tomorrow, then that's also like more or less a disappointing campaign. So things can change so quickly. I mean, look, you've been in the business long enough, you know, it's a result-driven industry. And like, if this week goes bad, then this would also, you know, be really, really difficult for Rosa. Let's just say I think he has potential, you know, to actually do something there. I think he does have a clear idea of what he wants to play. I think he's verbally very astute, which is important in a club like Dortmund, because you need to play to that emotion with the fans, with the surrounding, with the club to get the best out of it. And I think he has those abilities. Like I said, it's just a matter of consistently being able to get it across and have the team perform. And yeah, there's still room to improve on that.
Yeah, well, I think it's safe to say that there's a lot of positives to come from the season, but you also have some standout negatives. Obviously, the Champions League is a big disappointment. But then some of the positives has been some of the outstanding performers. I mean, Jude Bellingham has really stood out to me this year for Dortmund and put himself into the next level of transfer fee. He's become so valuable to the club. Obviously, Erling Haaland has been outstanding. I think having Marco Reus healthy has been a real benefit in helping Dortmund, but also it's great to see for him personally being healthy. So there's a lot of positives. I think your defense is definitely an issue. Obviously, I mentioned before, the Champions League has been a big disappointment. But I was going to bring up to you, and I was excited to talk to you about this. Back in 1995, I went to watch Glasgow Rangers against Borussia Dortmund. Now, I know they're facing each other now in the Europa League coming up in February. But I remember going back in 1995, I went to watch Rangers against Dortmund. It was, again, my love for German football. I couldn't wait to go watch Andy Muller. He was one of my favorite players of all time. So as soon as Rangers got drawn against Dortmund, I got a ticket because I wanted to go see Dortmund. And I went back to look at the team that Dortmund had in 1995 and some of the names from those teams. I mean, big names, obviously, that we know now. Stefan Kloss played in that game. Michael Zorc played in that game. Andy Muller played in that game. Patrick Berger played in that game. Heiko Herrlich, Karl-Heinz Riedle. I was just blown away by the amount of top players that played for Dortmund back in that day. And I'm really excited, obviously, to see Rangers against Dortmund again now in Europe. Obviously, it's Europa League, but it's a real cool thing to see Dortmund going up against Rangers once again.
I love that draw. I mean, the only thing better would have been Celtic, but yeah, that obviously wasn't in the cards. But yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was already looking at flights and, you know, ticket opportunities. It's just so difficult right now to plan any traveling, you know, with the pandemic still going on everywhere.
Yeah.
Man, if I could be there, I would. I still haven't ruled it out, but it's not looking too promising.
Yeah. It's hard right now to book any tickets to go to any games right now. I'm sure all your listeners feel the same. I mean, wanting to go over watch a game, I was actually planning on being in Hamburg this week because why would I not want to go watch the game against Dortmund and then 4 days later watch the derby against Hamburg? For me, it was one of the biggest weeks I was looking forward to, but it's just impossible. I mean, you can't plan trips right now because of the testing, because of positive COVID results and obviously issues trying to get in and out of countries right now. It's easier sometimes just to stay home and watch it on television rather than be there, which is a real shame for all of us who love football.
Absolutely. I would love to go to Scotland to watch a game there. You know, obviously the Scottish game has fallen on some harder times in comparison to, you know, what it used to be. But nevertheless, I think there's still a strong culture around that. And that's what I love about the game most anyway. The culture, the relevance, you know, to the people, no matter where I've been in the world. It always has opened doors and conversations for me. And it's just what really fascinates me. And I'd love to go to, you know, to see Dortmund play in such an atmosphere in a historic club as well.
Yeah.
I'll see. But I totally feel you. Like, I was in Germany right now, and I actually had planned to be in Dortmund for, you know, the beginning of December for a couple of weeks so I could watch Bayern, the home game against Istanbul, because they basically played like 4 or 5 home games in a row with one away game in Bochum, which... Yep.
Of course.
I'm gonna take all these games, and then they reduced capacities and everything. I still got lucky. I was at the Bayern game, and I went to Istanbul, but then I cut it short. And you know, I'm not gonna complain. That was still a blessing. Many people, as you say, can't travel right now. I've never been there, so it was still good to be back. And it was funny. Like at the game against Bayern, I actually saw people from the Thailand fan club, from Mexico. So it's amazing to see how it's still, you know, with everything, is possible to get together and have this like family affair feeling.
Sport.
So yeah,
people are still trying.
Speaking of fans and fan clubs, are you going to watch it with the East River Pirates?
I won't. I will watch it. I will watch it on my own. I have been down there, and I'll tell you this: when I first moved over, I left Pauli in 2008 to go to Major League Soccer, and it was a big decision for me to leave St. Pauli because we were on the way up the ladder. But when I came over to America, I couldn't believe how many Pauli fans there were. It was everywhere I went, in D.C., in Los Angeles, and obviously New York. They came from everywhere, all wanting to grab a jersey or take a photograph. St. Pauli fans are everywhere. And now it's even bigger here in the United States. It's incredible. So I'm really proud of the job that St. Pauli have done with American supporters in general. And the fan clubs over here have continued to grow and grow and grow. And of course, the club is, for many people, it's a second division club. They see it as we were sitting in the second division. But outside of the second division, the way the business is run, the executives, the supporters, it's all first class. It's all first division. And all we need now is the results on the field that supports what is happening off the field, because the fan culture and the amount of fans that we have, it's incredibly popular. So hopefully we can start to grow it even more, and the team can get more success, and eventually we'll be more consistently in the top division, because that's what we deserve as fans and people around the club. We deserve to see this team being every single year in the first league. But for sure this week, I'm going to watch it at home. I like to be away from everyone and scream at my television, good or bad. Hopefully I'm celebrating and you're crying. But if not, I wish you good luck, and I hope it's a great game.
How about this? I'll make you a deal.
Go.
We get the cup, but you get the promotion.
I'll take that, yes.
I thought so. Mr. Joy. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I thank you so much for your insights, and yeah, I'm looking forward, or we're looking forward to a great game. Let's hope they give us one. And yeah, I hope to speak and hear you soon. I know I will, obviously, as the voice of NYCFC. Also a good year for you, huh?
Yes, very good year. Champions of Major League Soccer. Very, very good. Very happy. Things have gone very well. And I've been very busy with CBS for Champions League and Europa League as well, which has been a lot of fun on CBS Sports HQ. So personally, a very good year. And with the NYCFC winning MLS, it was just the perfect finish.
Cherry on top. Well, yeah, like I said, hopefully I can have you on again and we can chat maybe a little bit more about European soccer as well. But for now, thank you so much for taking time. It was lovely to talk to you. Great insights. And yeah, good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you so much for having me. Good luck. And to everybody out there who's falling in, thank you very much for your support for German football. If in the United States, continue to put pressure on your networks and make sure you continue to grow German football in America if you're out there listening. And if you're around the world, keep on following your team with a passion. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation. That's it for today. Thanks for tuning in again to Believe in Borussia, presented by BetOnline. Stay tuned for more black and yellow content soon. And until then, do as Ian says, support your German soccer, put pressure on your networks, follow your team with a passion. And until the next episode, a black and yellow shout out across America.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.